Hey, Shane with Hard Money, Hard Knocks, a Bitcoin podcast dedicated to shine light on Bitcoiners working hard in their communities to help Bitcoin adoption. Right now, the current price of Bitcoin is $23,874. One US dollar could buy you 4,188 Satoshis. And the current block height is 746,979. And on this podcast, I'd like to give recognition to meetup organizers in the Bitcoin space. The events that meetups provide educational experience, social event, and just a way of learning. I think meetups are a great space for the Bitcoin community. And I think they're just getting going. There's been so many of them starting up this year alone. And I think meetups are just going to be a very important aspect of the Bitcoin space. So today we're going to have Jonathan from Fort Bitcoin in Fort Worth, Texas, join us today. So Jonathan, welcome and thank you for joining us.
Hey, thank you for having me.
You got it. Why don't you just go ahead and start us off by telling us a little bit of your Bitcoin background, you know, when you got into it, how'd you hear about it, and just the beginnings of it.
Sure. I think I first heard about Bitcoin right around the release of the white paper and gave it a very glancing look. And in my head, I thought, you know, Minecraft coins. I didn't put anything together here. And it wasn't until Adventures in the Dark Web that, you know, I started using Bitcoin a little bit more. Again, blew right over me as far as like what it meant for the world. And then in 2013, a buddy of mine convinced me to start mining with him. And I went down that rabbit hole and started mining. And in 2014, I was actually lucky enough to organize the first sale of an oil and gas deal, working interest for Bitcoin. And so that was really cool. And that led to me opening a company called BitPetro, which I still run, which is, focuses on the intersection of Bitcoin and oil and gas and energy. And just kind of learning, diving down the rabbit hole, I eventually started, you know, developing relationships on the ground with people and setting up meetups. My first real big push into that was a humanitarian project in the border of Colombia and Venezuela. It was called Crypto Conserje. It's currently on a pause after COVID. We kind of, you know, had it really hit us hard. We had to slow down a lot. Plus, there was a humanitarian crisis going over there, and we just didn't have the funds to properly execute on the ground like we needed to. After doing all that work, my friends in the local area were like, "Why aren't you doing anything here?" And so, it just pushed and pushed and pushed until I finally buckled and said, let's do something. And in true Fort Worth fashion, it's got a very laid back atmosphere. It's, you know, whoever wants to come is free to come. We try to keep it Bitcoin only. We do welcome, you know, shit coiners, and we try to show them the light and, you know, just in a nice cordial way. We don't need to be too hard on them. There's a lot of them that just don't know, and that's their way into Bitcoin. So it's just about developing, you know, good community, good incentives, and that's what Fort Bitcoin's about.
Right on. Before, I used to live in Bakersfield, California, before moving to Knoxville, and I worked in the oil fields for 3 years. So to think of you working Bitcoin and oil and gas, it's really fascinating to me. And now that, especially the fact I do for my fiat job, I'm a Bitcoin miner, and to just get into that energy rabbit hole, and then plus my oil background, and to think, you know, what that could do for the oil industry one day, you know, the possibilities are limitless. And so it's cool hearing, you know, those kind of backgrounds, people getting into it, and just to think what can come of it one day.
Yeah. You know, I when I started BitPetro, the idea was to repeat what we had done, selling working interest in oil deals, so that capital from, you know, the rest of the world could flow into Texas and we could develop more oil fields here in Texas. it was just too early. And in 2014, we showed up at the North American Petroleum Expo and promptly got sat down by the regulators and told you were not going to break apart the dollar and the petro. And so that basically set us back significantly. We basically couldn't do what we intended to do. And so, yeah, it's a learning process. You know, regulation's always going to be there. We got to find a way. Bitcoin doesn't require regulation, but, you know, businesses require regulation in order to comply. They have to comply with regulation in order to operate. And so there is a fine dance there that has to be played by both parties. And, you know, Bitcoin's going to do what it does, and the oil field's going to try to do what it does, and just make a profit. If they can do it better, cheaper, faster with Bitcoin, it's going to.
And so I know a lot of Bitcoiners will cringe when I ask about this because they don't want, you know, some probably don't want it to happen. But say those regulations do come, what do you think those conversations are going to be like with those oil and gas companies, you know, once that does happen? Do you think their perspective is going to definitely kind of be more open-minded then?
I think that primarily regulation is going to focus at the on-ramps and off-ramps, right? Like, we're going to see probably a lot of attention coming to exchanges, primarily because of the securities implications of some of these tokens. Now, you know, Bitcoin is considered property now. It's not considered a security. And so in that sense, I think there is probably more on the mining side regulation as far as, like, you know, how the grid interplays with Bitcoin miners at scale. Maybe there is some amount of regulation that has to happen at the government level for governments to, like, for example, Fort Worth is mining Bitcoin, right? But Fort Worth, in their mining Bitcoin, they cannot keep their Bitcoin. They have to immediately convert their Bitcoin to fiat because of regulation. So I imagine that some of those kinks are going to get ironed out. And those are things that we want to happen as Bitcoiners. You know, we don't want the regulation that clamps down freedoms, but we do want the regulation that allows for operational clarity for businesses to be able to do what they want to do and not break the law, right?
Mm-hmm. I was looking forward to asking you about that too. So the city of Fort Worth itself is mining Bitcoin, right?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
About how much hash rate are they putting out?
It's not much. It's just some donated. I believe there were some S19s that were donated and some S9s that were donated. So it's mostly just, you know, a gesture. Like, we're willing to support the industry and we want to put a foot forward, but it's nothing that is of scale. Yeah. It's also being done, I believe, at the computer, like, center downstairs at the server room in City Hall. So there's not really a lot of power that they can divert to mining, and they probably aren't set up very well for handling all that heat down there either. Mm-hmm. So, I would imagine that initially, it's just going to be, you know, an olive branch for Bitcoin in the Bitcoin industry in large, to be able to say, hey, we can come to Fort Worth and we can set up shop, and the government is going to help us.
Mm-hmm. And have there been any other effects that have resulted because of it, as far as, you know, city members, council members, whatever, having a more favorable viewpoint towards Bitcoin?
Yeah, absolutely. And part of Fort Bitcoin is to help foster that, help educate, and bring some of that to the other large institutions of the city. So TCU, my alma mater, will be doing in September a meetup where TCU will be hosting a Bitcoin talk forum. It's going to be kind of a roundtable discussion on you know, what's going on with Bitcoin and basically the concerns around the current environment of Bitcoin, but also the promise and, you know, what do we see? Why do we believe, even though we see the price faltering? I think that's going to be a really positive move, because now the last event that TCU held was a TCU Blockchain and Energy Summit, which really was more focused on, you know, tokens and then focused on the crypto side. And it really was more talking about DeFi and NFTs and that sort of stuff. And that's because as a university, that's what they can sell, right? Like they have a computer science department. They have an economics department. They don't have a Bitcoin department. They don't, you know, Bitcoin is not a topic that is yet something they can teach. And even if there, even if it was, it's such a far reaching topic that it's hard for the administration to get their head around. How do we offer this, right? Like, are we doing engineering? Are we doing electrical engineering? Are we doing network engineering? You know, there's so many topics that maybe someday we'll see a university. And that's, we're working with TCU to try to develop that as an idea that they have, that maybe one day they develop a curriculum that is a TCU Bitcoin, you know, curriculum. That would be amazing. But we're probably still a ways away just because it's easier to teach, you know, JavaScript, C++, and, you know, HTML and have, you know, an up and going token that, that you're not really diving deep into why it needs to be in Bitcoin and why everything else is just fiat.
And so you're going to have a meetup with, like, with TCU students, or is it just going to be a meetup at the TCU campus?
So it's going to be kind of a two-part event. The TCU campus will have a panel presentation, about an hour, hour and a half. And then we're going to do our 12th meetup of Fort Bitcoin at the University Pub, which is on University Street, like right off campus. So that way people can, you know, walk straight over, and then we can have the social side. And typically we get, you know, it trends with price. The last meetup definitely bucked that trend. We had probably the most at the last meetup, about 20 people showed up. But it's anywhere between 6 and, you know, 20 people at the dinner that we had, the proof of stake dinner that we did. We had like 30 people there. So that was a really good event. But, you know, we're still growing. It's certainly not anything like when Texas Blockchain Council does their events, they get 100+ people. So we're certainly not there, but that's not our goal. Our goal is to, you know, support the community, educate the different members of the community. So the city council, we're bringing Texas Limb to our next meetup in August, August 9th at, Pug Mahone's Pub. And he's going to talk about the beef initiative. And so that'll lead into us, you know, hopefully setting something up with the Fort Worth Livestock Show and Rodeo, which is one of the biggest in Texas. And so we'll be able to educate more ranchers, more farmers, through that venue. And so hopefully we get a booth, and, you know, that's the idea. It's just like, hey, look, Fort Worth has a lot going on, and if the mayor is supporting it, and if we have a community that supports the mayor and businesses, then the Bitcoin ecosystem is going to thrive and survive here.
Yeah, that sounds, that's bullish right there, on Fort Worth for sure. That's a lot of possibilities that are opening up, you know, right before your eyes. And Texas Slim came through Knoxville, and the amount of knowledge he woke us up to was just unbelievable. And, you know, how little we know about our food nowadays, how little we know about a lot of things. We don't get told the truth about very much anymore, but Bitcoiners are out there seeking the truth, and Texas Slim's definitely doing that. He's letting a lot of people know about it. I'm still working on trying to, you know, shake my first rancher's hand. I don't come across them too often. I'm still looking to find where the local ones are. I've tried looking online, but it's just not that easy. But Google probably makes it that way. And
yeah, I'd start with your stock shows. I mean, really, you know, the FFA, the local FFA is going to point you in the right direction. So if you go to the high school or the university, they usually have a ranch management department or an FFA department. Those are going to be the closest, easiest people that you're going to reach. And then, you know, from there, just reach out to your local, there's different business organizations that, you know, the local, man, now I'm blanking out. Kind of like a council of government, a council of businesses, and you know, organizations that try to support small businesses. a lot of times you can reach out to them and they'll tell you, hey, yeah, we've had a few people that have an interest, and you can reach out that way.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'll definitely keep that in mind. Another thing too I want to talk about is, you know, with we have University of Tennessee right here, and I can't think of how I want to do it, but I really know I want to start outreaching to students there and finding a way of, you know, getting Bitcoin into that University of Tennessee campus. Like I said, I'm really trying to wrap my head around the right way of going about it. But once this semester starts up, definitely got to think of something to start trying to do here soon and start trying to outreach our group that way. We call it Knoxville Bitcoin Network because we want it to be a lot more than just meetups, and trying to get the university involved would be an awesome feature to have, especially they're already orange. So, Bitcoin orange and them go hand in hand.
Yeah, we're trying something cool that I think kind of has that university feel, which is beers for Bitcoin. So if you show up to one of our events and we have a sponsor, if you give the receipt of your beers at the end of the night, instead of, you know, going out and buying a bunch of swag, I'll take the sponsor's money and I'll give people Bitcoin back for their beers. So, you know, it's a way that they can touch and taste and feel a Bitcoin transaction, especially a Lightning one. And it leaves you with, you know, oh yeah, I got a beer, but I got a beer with Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. The guys in Springfield, Lincoln Land Bitcoiners, they're doing that too with their sponsors.
That's where I got the idea from. And I was like, man, that's so great. And happened to be that one of our sponsors just gave us some Bitcoin. And I was like, I'm just going to do that. Like, I'm not going to try anything fancy. Just what works.
Yeah. Cause doing that, especially if people have been, you get some people fairly new or they've been buying on Coinbase or whatever it is. If you could give them a one-on-one learning experience of a Lightning payment, that is a huge, I was telling a guy at our meetup last night, that is a huge orange pill moment. The difference, because I remember I first bought on BlockFi, when I went to go withdraw it, it took 4 days. And then I was like, wow, that's not what I was told Bitcoin's like, you know? And so doing that first payment through the Lightning Network, I was like, wow, what was I doing before? And then I realized, like, I wasn't even using Bitcoin, you know, necessarily. Yeah. That's not Bitcoin what I was doing. And that just got me going more, and then getting a Lightning node even more. So
I'll tell you, a really good one to do is a local Lightning Torch. So Lightning Torches used to be a thing that early on people would try to do on Twitter. But I think that a local one is really cool, where you're like, okay, everybody pull out your blue wallet, and you know, you have to have enough Bitcoin in the wallet to be able to do the transaction. But typically the way it goes is you send somebody a large amount of, you know, like let's say 220 sats. And as the next person requests it, right, they request a little less or a little more depending on how you want to play the game. And typically you just keep it going, right, until you run out of the Bitcoin that's there and everybody's got left with one or two sats. But the idea is that you're just trying to send that all the way around and trying to get that Lightning transaction all the way back to the beginning. In some cases, I've done, you know, 21 sat transactions when it's 21 sats I send, it's 21 sats they receive. You know, that was a free transaction. And if you could actually get, you can't do it with Moon, you can't do it with some of the wallets because they're doing submarine swaps and they're doing certain things that add the transaction fees. But certainly if you're doing small, you know, 21 sat transactions, a lot of times you can get it for free. And trying to see how many you can do for free is interesting, cool, and kind of a mind-blowing moment when you were like, man, I just sent like a penny for free across the internet. And then we just kept doing it. Like that's when you start kind of unlocking the, well, what else could be done with this?
Yeah. Another thing, I worked at a brewery in Bakersfield, Lengthwise Brewing Company, and they accept Lightning payments. And I keep trying to reach out to the meetup guys there, Jesse and Gabe. And one of these days I'm going to FaceTime them and I'm going to buy one of them a beer, you know, through FaceTiming and do a Lightning payment right then. And so I'm really looking forward to doing that too. So just any way to get transactions. I try to sell stickers for like 1,000 sats, and just to give people an experience to, I got to start dropping the price down or something, to give people more of a chance to try to, you know, interact with Bitcoin, use it, feel comfortable. That way they could show people in the future.
Yeah. And another great, you know, tool for folks is, you know, the apps that gamify Bitcoin. So like Lolly and Fold. And if you, especially with kids, if you, because they're already kind of like a game, if you can get your kids playing those, it's a huge win. It's an easy way. It's fun. They're winning 25, sometimes 250 sats. You know, my sister, I hooked her up on Lolly. I think she won 1 million sats. So, I mean, it's fun. It's exciting. It's a way that you're not really, you know, spending money, but you're at least getting the Bitcoin exposure. And in, you know, through the meetup, I've even learned that like with Fold app, you can pay your mortgage and get cash back on paying your mortgage. I mean, like, so, you know, just showing up, even someone like me that's been around for a while, you know, we can learn a lot. Like there's a lot that Bitcoiners like to share and learn together.
Yep. And that's the thing. I like going to our meetups and just kind of sitting back and, you know, I just got in February 2021, so I'm still new, and I have so much to learn. When I go to my meetups, it's just like, wow, there's so many freaking smart people out here. We had a couple of new guys come to our meetup last night, which was really cool. It's always super great to see new faces. And, you know, one guy was a software engineer, and interesting to talk to him about that because he gets the whole computer code stuff, which is still out of my reach some, so I got more to learn about that. I hope to one day, but it's just such a great learning opportunity, and the little one-on-one discussions that you could have are just phenomenal. And then last night, our meetup had a really great group discussion on proof of stake, especially in mining, but that was, you know, just so much to learn. We had a guy from Vietnam presenting on proof of work versus proof of stake, and he was writing up his own formulas and stuff that he wrote for the University of Tennessee, and just about how, you know, who does proof of stake benefit in mining? You know, you got the energy, the hardware, it goes to the energy suppliers, it goes to Bitmain, whoever is making the miners. But like, if you got proof of stake, you know, who does the money go to then? And just had a great discussion over stuff.
Yeah, like it's a completely different value chain for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, just, and we were able to relate it to our current monetary system so much and just bring it into today's terms as well. So just such a great learning experience for any new person to come, step out of your comfort zone and go to a Bitcoin meetup to learn.
Yeah. Well, look, man, I can't thank all of the attendees that we have enough. I mean, they make the meetup, and I just feel humbled to, you know, be able to organize it and enjoy it. And so next month's actually, it's landing on the 11th. Meetup is landing on August 9th. My birthday is on August 11th. So I posted that I'm having a early Bitcoin and beef birthday party. Right, so I'm going to enjoy August's meetup. I think we're going to have a really good time. Texas Slam is going to knock it out of the park, I'm sure. And then, yeah, we're just going to try and keep it rolling. Every month we pick a new bar in town, somewhere interesting to go see. Sometimes we'll go to the Stockyard. Sometimes we'll go downtown. Sometimes we'll go to West 7th area. So we try to kind of pick around and really highlight all the really cool areas in town. Yeah, that's kind of the general goal right now. If I were to, you know, say ultimate goal would be eventually to maybe bring a little bit more of a formal feeling here. I'd like to start something with the Fort Worth Petroleum Club and bring in some more of these oil and gas companies to a forum where they can learn about Bitcoin and they can learn about, you know, not just hearing it with, oh, you can do DeFi, bro, and you can do this. I want them to hear, hey, look, you can lock this up. You can do security. You can do a lot of things that really facilitate how you keep your money. But at the same time, the parallels between mining and oil and gas production are out of this world. The ability for Bitcoin to do amazing things for oil and gas, just like in settlement. If we implemented Lightning settlement on oil and gas, what would that do to reconciliations? It would probably transform the industry from the perspective of accounting. You know, and that's not even talking about mining in the midstream sector or you know, flare gas mining from regenerative methane, like landfill gas and stuff like that. There's so many things that we can apply Bitcoin to that you know, there are already waste streams, there are already things that the industry can improve on. And so I'd like to bring those to the table and really kind of focus Fort Worth on that really business forward Bitcoin mentality.
Mm-hmm. And then, so what is your favorite aspect of Bitcoin? What rabbit hole do you like going down the most?
Man, I started with, you know, trying to learn about all of the different cryptos, because that's kind of where what landed me. I wanted to see what all this was about. I didn't understand yet the significance of the monetary properties of Bitcoin. It was just more technology. And so I looked at it from as a technology perspective. As I've grown in the space, I've started looking more at the economics of it. And then when I did the humanitarian project, it really kind of brought home that this is the future of sovereignty and potentially our last hope against, you know, the panopticon state that we seem to see building around us. You know, we need to have the liberty of not having our transactions censored. That's a huge, being from Venezuela, I can tell you that that's really, really, really important. It's also really important to be able to leave a country with your property. Bitcoin allows you to do that. In Venezuela, you can't do that because your property, your money is bag loads to take $100 out of the country. So now magically you can take, you know, all of your wealth technically in a 12 word phrase in your head and nobody can take that from you. So the humanitarian doors that Bitcoin opens are what still awes me and what I really get drawn to. But being in oil and gas and being in mining, you know, I like the tech side. I like seeing how we can push the envelope to improve current business flows with this new hard money that we have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know when I ask, what's your favorite one? It's always like, there's so many things, but
yeah, I mean, I like making money. So I like to focus on making money with Bitcoin, but really it's hard to put that one in the same candle with, you know, helping another human out with $5 of Bitcoin that somebody else gave me and I can give them a week's worth of food.
Yeah.
That's, you know, I like the feel of that one too.
Well, hey, to anybody, you know, struggling in, I mean, any country in the world, you know, start learning about Bitcoin. That might be your chance out. I just kind of started getting my life together a couple of years ago and, trying to get going, especially in California. It's just like, wow, the American dream's really just, it seems like it's gone. And now that inflation has been ripping through, but I was losing so much hope about having a family and everything. And then I found Bitcoin, found me, I should say, and just really gave me a lot of hope for the future. Cause I really like, I'm really just getting going on my feet. Just, you know, got my first apartment like a little over a year ago. So, you know, really just getting going. So I have so much hope for the future. Anybody around the world trying to get going, learn about Bitcoin and get the conviction, and you'll probably have a better future because of that. So,
it doesn't necessarily have to mean that you have to become a coder. If you just have the discipline to, you know, buy the dip and maybe just set aside a little bit of dry powder so that when you have an opportunity to hit smash buy, you do that. That's great. You don't have to DCA. Getting off of zero is just fine. You know, start your journey and eventually it'll take you where it's going to take you.
Absolutely. It's unbelievable where it's taken me in the past or a little over a year. So it's unbelievable what happens. So let's turn to the meetup now. And so you got Fort Bitcoin going on, and we've kind of been talking about it a little bit. When did you first start Fort Bitcoin?
So we will be going on our 11th month now. Next month will be our last, or so our anniversary. Actually, it will be 2 months from now will be our anniversary. We started September. We started October. So September is going to be our year, our end of the year one. It was just picking a new place and going. It started out with 4 people, then 6 people, then back down to 4, and then up to 8, then 15 people show up, and you're like, whoa, this grew. And so it's just kind of up and down. Again, it tends to trend with price a little bit, but I think also it's just the word just now getting out. It takes about a year of just continuing to show up and be there for the word to really kind of get out. All the time we get people that are blowing me away that show up. We had the guys from Rhodium that came out and sponsored us. We've had Abra everybody knows Abra is a crypto company. I was able to get them to sponsor one of our events and not put the word crypto anywhere, just Abra supporting Bitcoin. So, all over, we've had really, really positive experiences with Bitcoin companies and I'd say our most devious event was we crashed a Fort Worth Association Petroleum Landmen happy hour with our meetup, so we could orange pill them. So we're trying to schedule things where there's other people grouped up together, and then we can just orange pill, bum rush them.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, we'll have to do like impromptu ones. So just look for other meetups on the meetup app, and that's really cool. That's a great idea. That'll be fun. I'm not sure how many of my guys will want to join me, but who knows? Is there like a structure to the meetup, or is it just more of social time and then Bitcoin discussion within yourselves?
No, it really is just come hang out. I mean, talk Bitcoin. So, I try to have something sponsored there, whether my company BitPetro will step in and buy pizzas and a few beers, or buy paella. One time we did a paella, and other times folks that show up, like when Rhodium showed up, they paid for everybody's tab the first time they showed up, and they weren't sponsoring. They just wanted to be nice and help out. That's kind of how it's gone. The last meetup, several people just handed me some Bitcoin and said, can I help? And so I'll take that and roll it into the next one and just continue to, invest in the space and bring more fun stuff to do.
Yeah, that's cool. And then, And then what has been like the age range for the attendees that have came?
Man, we've had boomers to kids. We've had, people that are straight foreigners that I could hardly understand them to, cowboys coming in from West Texas, from Austin, people driving in from, out of town to come to our meetup. So it's really kind of been all over the board. I've been very surprised by who shows up.
It is surprising. I was pretty shocked going to a few different ones and being like, wow, there is this gap in age ranges across the board at these different meetups. So it's very fascinating, because you think of a young person's, fascination, nerd money, whatever. Yeah, you wouldn't expect the boomers to be out there.
Yeah. We've actually had quite a few boomers come out, and they're usually in the oil and gas space, or it kind of varies. There's guys that a couple podcasters have come out. So it's been really, really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And then what do you feel like, what incentive do you feel like your group provides for new people to come if they're wanting to come learn?
I guess the biggest one is that we are very laid back. You're not going to get, preached to. You're not, we do have maxis that run around, but they know the tone is to be friendly, right? and respectful. And that's what we can, that's what we most pride ourselves in, is that everybody has a really good time. It's a very welcoming atmosphere. Everybody feels like they can share and bring very high level, high signal topics to the table. And if somebody has something to share, the Texas Blockchain Council often shows up. And so we're happy to hear updates from them. And so every now and again, somebody will make an announcement or something like that. And we'll all kind of listen in. So it's, but primarily, you know, it's just come have a beer, have a good talk, sit down and shake a hand. And especially after COVID, it's so nice to meet people, and Bitcoiners are some of the best people.
Yeah. I always say that, man. Bitcoiners are just such great people. The ones I've been meeting throughout my journey so far, just some real genuine, you know, wanting good for the world people.
Yeah. And so, I mean, and looking forward, I think we'll probably try and do another, another dinner, maybe try and do once or twice a year, do the dinner. And then, like I said, try and do something a little bit more formal for the oil and gas community at the Petroleum Club. And there's been, I've been hearing about this yoga thing. So this Bitcoin yoga movement. So my wife's a yoga instructor and I practice. So we're going to try and organize one of those. We'll probably try to do it without the beers, but we'll see.
Yeah. Beers could be after.
That's right.
And then, so how familiar are you with, Texas Blockchain Council?
Steve from Texas Blockchain Council comes out quite often. Lee has come out for their event, so I've met with both of them, had conversations with both. They're great guys, and they're supporting us, so we're happy to support them.
Mm-hmm. We just had a guy actually move here. I won't dox him, but it's just moved from that area to Knoxville, and so I don't know if you are familiar with more people than those two, but I'm curious if you'll know them. I'll have to ask you afterwards. But
no, I mean, those are the two main guys. Steve shows up a lot. I mean, he's basically, I think he's a local here. He lives out in Dallas, so it's easy for him to get over to us. And, you know, he's really also focused on trying to drive policy and drive business towards the sound money narrative, and towards the, hey, we really need to focus on the minings. The mining's probably not going to be happening on proof of stake. So, you know, listen to the signal, not the noise. And so I like that about what their message is on that end. You know, I know they have to support other communities, and that's fine by me on the Dallas side, but I asked them, hey, when you're over here, let's try to keep it Bitcoin only. And they respect that. So, we're happy to have them.
And then also too, with a lot of miners are having a curtail in Texas right now, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. And it's an economic benefit for them to do so. It's not that they're also losing out, right? Like they're getting some compensation for that. So somewhere down the line, their net benefit is they get a lower cost of electricity during the normal hours.
Mm-hmm. Do you know any miners personally affected by that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I said, my company works, we set up, we do the research and land acquisition and setup for miners. So we get land and power for miners. Okay. And so some of my customers, you know, we work with them to help them receive the proper signaling of when they need to curtail and not. So, you know, my partners who are power brokers, they're very, very helpful, and they send out signals and try to interface with them as much as possible so that they know when and how to curtail. I mean, aside from that, if it's getting to the point where it's 109, sometimes you have to curtail just because of the heat, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And then I know you kind of mentioned it towards the beginning, but just one more time, what are your goals for the group moving forward?
You know, bring more of the business and the large institutions, the large local institutions together so that we can focus on making Fort Worth the leading place for Bitcoin in Texas. I know that we're always going to have competition from Houston and Austin and that's great. I mean, that's what we want to see. We want to see these cities competing for the best of the talent in Bitcoin. And if we can make, you know, all of the Bitcoin, all of the large metroplex areas, you know, Bitcoin citadels in Texas, then Texas will have that dominance over, over other states. But that's not necessarily because I want the centralization, but because Texas is so focused on self-sovereignty already that those values align themselves very well. It's business friendly. It's got the cheapest electricity in the lower 48. So all of these things combined to, for it to be a good location for people. And let's face it, look, guys, humans centralize. That's what we do. That's why we have cities. So even though we like decentralized networks, there is a certain level of robustness that you get from centralization when you are in human networks. And so it's important for us to grow the human network side of Bitcoin. That's really what Fort Bitcoin is about.
Well said. Well said. I like that. And then just another question before we start wrapping it up here. Just kind of what are your any final thoughts on the Bitcoin space and any projects that you're looking forward to?
I am super excited about Lightning. I'm working on a project right now in Lightning that I'll hopefully get to announce soon. But that is just mind blowing, how we're actually going to be able to do business with microtransactions across the world. It is really a game changer. I think down the line, I can see Bitcoin starting to develop a little bit more from the network side, not just the BTC, the monetary asset side, but I think there's a lot of use cases that Bitcoin, the truth machine side, the blockchain part of Bitcoin is going to be utilized in record validation and the time stamping aspect being in the oil and gas land and legal side. I can appreciate how Bitcoin has the potential to essentially be like a worldwide courthouse in that anybody can publish a record through something like open timestamps and tag documents and make them, hey, I publicly recorded this in the Bitcoin blockchain. And even if I have dispute with somebody across the world, we can agree that that's the same document that we're talking about because it's hashed on Bitcoin. So I see a lot of development on that side of Bitcoin that just hasn't even been priced in that I think is going to be really, really awesome. I mean, it's going to be the, for the rest of the world, Bitcoin, my favorite saying is that Bitcoin was not for the first world, it's for the third world. And once it takes over the third world, the first world will have to bend the knee. The same way that with, you know, the cell phone took over in Africa, Africa didn't wait for copper to come in. When they had the technology to skip copper, they took it. So I think very similarly, the brick and mortar bank will not be seen by a large majority of the human population because that's just how it is. You're not going to see banks everywhere in you know, Latin America. There's just going to be parts of the world where it's just, you know, the field. And out in the field, you can still have a cell phone and still have a bank account. And that is something that you can carry with you or you can carry on your head. And you can have either a checking account with Lightning or you can have your safe deposit box with, you know, Bitcoin Layer 1. And man, that just didn't exist. So that's really, really hopeful for the future for me. And I think that's what excites me the most coming forward from what Bitcoin has long term. Short term, probably the stuff going on around, I know people are going to kind of hate this, the stuff going on around stable coins, but stable coins on Lightning are going to be very powerful for that adoption phase. But yeah, that's what I'm seeing coming.
Right on. Well, just to wrap it up here, another chance to let the listeners know how to reach out to Fort Bitcoin and how to get a hold of you.
Sure. We're on Twitter at Fort_Bitcoin. And you can find us on Meetup at Fort Bitcoin. I try to post everything on Eventbrite, Meetup, and Twitter. And I also put it on my LinkedIn. I haven't really done anything on Facebook, but we may start that. But that's mainly it. Other than that, just, you know, hashtag Fort Bitcoin on Twitter. You can see all the events that we've done. And yeah, that's the goal.
Right on. Well, Jonathan, I just want to say thank you for coming on here and taking this time to talk with me. And most importantly, thank you for doing Satoshi's work and providing a space for people to come and talk Bitcoin. So thank you so much for all that you're doing.
Of course, my pleasure. Thank you so much. And thank you for what you're doing with Hard Money and Hard Knocks.
Thank you. And I'll catch up with you here in a sec.
Okay, great.
And that's all we got for today. Shane, Hard Money, Hard Knocks. You can listen on Fountain App, Spotify, Apple. We're on YouTube. You can connect with Knoxville Bitcoin Network. We're on Twitter, Telegram. And other than that, that's all we got for today. We'll be back here on Saturday with Charlotte Bitcoin and Sioux Falls Bitcoin. Thank you, and keep stacking hard.